Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Megillah Daf Yud, Megillah 10. We're going to start on the very bottom of 9b at the Mishnah, on the bottom of 9b that goes into 10a at the top. So we've 14 years, the Mishnah is going to be talking about the fact that 14 years after the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, there was built a Mishkan, a tabernacle, in the place called Shiloh. And this place in Shiloh, the Mishkan stayed there for 369 years until it was destroyed. Our Mishnah discusses some of the laws of the distinctions between the Mishkan, the laws that happened as a result of the Mishkan being built in Shiloh, to the Mishkan that was to the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, that was built in Jerusalem. So says our Mishnah, since we're continuing with the Ein Bein Mishnayos, no difference between this and this. So Ein Bein Shiloh Yerushalayim, there's no difference between the Mishkan that was built in Shiloh, the tabernacle in Shiloh, to the temple in Jerusalem, to the Beit HaMikdash in Jerusalem, except for, and we're going to be saying that just like the laws that relate to the Beit HaMikdash, so too the laws relating to the Shiloh, meaning to say they both had an ark. In the first temple, there was the ark, and there was an altar. And so as a result of the fact that there was an ark and an altar, they were able to bring all the sacrifices, and also as a result of this, there was a prohibition on bringing sacrifices outside of the Mishkan in Shiloh and outside of the temple. Ela Shabashiloh Ochlin. So what's the difference between the Shiloh and Jerusalem? That in Shiloh, you would eat kachim kalim. You would eat there's two types of sacrifices. Some are holier than others. That's called kachay kachim, and the lesser one are kachay kalim. An example of the lesser holy ones are like the Thanksgiving offering, the todah, the meiser behema, the bechor, the korban pesach. That these are generally speaking, they can be eaten throughout all of Jerusalem. They don't have to be eaten in the temple courtyard itself. So the difference is that in Shiloh, you can eat these kachim kalim. Umaiser sheni. Maiser sheni is the secondary tithe, which is generally speaking the produce that can only be in Jerusalem. But with Shiloh, b'chol haroeh, anybody who can see, as long as you could see Shiloh, you could eat it. And this is learned out the Gemara in Zevachim, learns this out from the fact it says, Hishamacha pentaleh olosecha b'kol makom asher tireh, any place where you see, meaning to say that you're allowed to eat it in any place that you can see. Meaning to say you can't do it any place where you can see in general, but any place where you can see Shiloh, you can bring these sacrifices and eat the Maaser Sheni. Whereas in Jerusalem, says our Mishnah Yerushalayim, the Kachim Kalam and the Maaser Sheni can only be in lefnim min achoma. They can only be in inside the walls of Jerusalem. Vekan, and in both places, in Shiloh and Jerusalem, kachim, the holiest sacrificial food, and the kachim, which are examples of that, are like the chatas, the sin offering, the ashem, that these have to be in only by kohanim, and only inside the curtains of the tabernacle, only in the courtyard of the temple. So in those things can only be in necholim with nimenachom, that just like in Shiloh and in Jerusalem, they can only be in within the courtyard of the Mishkan and within the walls of the courtyard of the temple. That they are like, for example, the walls of the courtyard of the temple are equivalent to the inside the curtains of the Mishkan. And Kedusha Shiloh, another distinction, says our Mishnah. Now we're on the top of 10a at the top. Yesh acharei heter, that the Kedusha Shiloh has after it a permission, whereas Kedushas Yerushalayim ain't acharei heter. Whereas the Jerusalem holiness, there's no permissiveness allowed after it. And this is the idea of Kitcha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asalavo. That the concept is, and this is how the Gemara is going to discuss whether or not this is applying, that once Jerusalem was sanctified, its sanctity lasted forever, as opposed to Shiloh, that once it was sanctified, its sanctity does not last forever. And that's how presumably the Gemara is going to take this discussion, because it says, what is the holiness of Shiloh? Yesh acharei heter. There's a permissiveness that's allowed after it. And that means to say that after Shiloh was destroyed, the people were allowed to go back and bring sacrifices on the bamos, on the private altars, wherever they wanted. Whereas while Shiloh was around, that wasn't going to be allowed. Whereas after Jerusalem was destroyed, After the temple was destroyed, the return to the bamos, to the private altars, was not allowed. The Gemara in Tzivachim 119a learns out from this idea that after the Mishkan was destroyed, you were allowed to bring sacrifices, private sacrifices, anywhere. The Gemara learns this out from the concept of heter habamos, that the private sacrifices are allowed, from Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 9, because it states there in that verse, ki lo vatem ad ata al menucha ve'al anacha, that you have not yet come now to the menucha, to the rest, and to the anacha, to the inheritance. Meaning to say that because they had not yet come to the Israel, to the land of Canaan, and built the Mishkan there, which is called the menucha, Shiloh is called the menucha, because they had not yet conquered it, and they had still not built the base of Mikdash in Jerusalem, which is called the Nacha. So it's still, as long as they haven't yet built the Mishkan, which is the Menucha, and the temple, which is the Nacha, they could bring the private altars. And from the fact that the Torah specifically has to prohibit the bamos as part of the Nacha, that means to say that after the Mishkan was destroyed with the Menucha, after the Menucha was destroyed, they went back to being permitted. It was only when the Nacha was destroyed that private sacrifices were again going to be prohibited. And so that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the distinction is that after Mishkan was destroyed, private sacrifices were allowed, but once the temple was destroyed, then the private sacrifices were not going to be allowed.